Hey there, cats and kittens, I'm Mike Coughlin. Welcome to MMA and Stuff here at HalfGuarded.com. Just going to be doing this show here with Matthew. Unfortunately, we've had some difficulties sorting it out. I blame him, even though it's not his fault. I am up in the great northern woods of Minnesota. It's a place where only white people come. I'm convinced of it. I think being out in nature is a white person thing. I don't know why, but it just is. You don't see black people go camping. They sure as shit don't go hunting. Never once seen a black guy hunt. Except for when they hunt the most dangerous game. Criminals. Gang members. So yeah, I'm doing this show here on my own, on the phone. I'm walking and talking. It's 10 in the morning here on July the 4th. As I'm recording this, you'll hear this on July the 5th. We keep the streak alive of some sort of new audio content in some way, shape, or form every Thursday. And that means that tomorrow, July 6th, is technically... What's that? That's right. It's the birthday of HalfGuarded.com. If I had been fucking smart, I would have started the fucking website on July the 4th. It's a declaration of freedom and blah, 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 blah. But it turns out that July 6th of 2015 was a Monday. And I thought it was more important, apparently, to start things on Monday rather than on July 4th. I also thought that I'd have this big launch thing. I both over and underestimated the amount of interest in any endeavor, which I may be a participant. Anyways, thank you everybody who has listened to even a second, maybe two, upwards of even three of this program over the years. Appreciate it. Sucks that Matt isn't here this week, but it's kind of my fault. Although last week's experiment was pretty fucking great, wasn't it? Anyways, UFC 226. Let's just get right into it. This is a website about, stuff. Despite what I want it to be, which is, let's face it, I want to provide just enough information that people want so that I can then feel free to rant and rave about whatever I want. So we have to start off with UFC 226 this Saturday, pay-per-view time. That was just weird. Maybe we should be releasing these different times. I don't know. A Thursday for a Saturday show. I don't know when people get hyped, but I know I'm hyped. UFC 226, the biggest show of the year thus far for the company. Probably won't be the biggest show of the year, period. I suspect they've got one Conor fight in them still. Maybe even someone with the Diaz brother. You know Nate's doing something. Nate and Nick are getting in enough trouble. Nate's having babies. Nick is being Nick, beating women or whatever the fuck he does for fun. They're going to need that money sooner or later. There's no way a couple of cholos from fucking Stockton, and I don't really know if they're cholos, but with the last name like Diaz, it sounds kind of cholo-y. There's no way in hell two motherfuckers from Stockton are going to be given a whole bunch of money and not fuck it up. I mean, come on. I'm born and bred for this shit. I was designed in the womb to be a man of privilege and wealth, if I tell myself. And even I would probably fuck up the money. And I'm way better than them. So yeah, they're coming. Anyway, but the here and now is UFC 226. Live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Part of the big UFC International Fight Week. They have a show on Saturday. Friday night also, I believe. Some sort of Ultimate Fighter finale. With the winners of... who the fuck knows or cares. Call me in 5 years when whoever wins the Ultimate Fighter might possibly become relevant. Maybe. But yeah, no, UFC 226, two big fights in the main event. Two big main events, a super fight, a true super fight, as well as a true world title fight. This is the first time the UFC, I don't want to say first time, but since maybe, I don't know, January when they did two real title fights, if you want to call Volkan Uzdemir a title challenger. But no, Brian Ortega, unquestionably the number one contender. He is probably the strongest number one contender to fight for a world title in a while. I wanted to say years, but I have no frame of reference on that. All I know is that most people that fight for titles these days already have a title of their own because the company's fucking stupid. So for him to not have a title and to have this many impressive wins and coming off that stunning knockout of Frankie Edgar. I mean, holy fuck, man. You got a guy like T-City here and Brian Ortega. And this is a dude known for tapping people out. And he's knocking them out. And we've heard this story so many times. You're like, my gosh, this guy's easy jiu-jitsu or wrestling or striking or what is it? It's just, you know what it turns out? It turns out that some people are just good at fucking fighting. It doesn't really matter what style or background they have. Here comes an automobile towards me. I'm walking on the highway. I wonder how long these highways will be here. And how long they've been here. I'm going to guess Eisenhower? Nah, I think this cabin... I don't know if this cabin predates Eisenhower. I don't think it does. Do you like Ike? I like Ike. Even though he's dead. And he coined the phrase military-industrial complex. And now for the rest of fucking time, somebody has to bring that up. It's the military-industrial complex. Like, somebody's just like, you know, when we go to war, somebody makes money. And therefore, all wars are started by the people that make money. It's like, no, not really. It's like blaming a doctor. Saying all illness is caused by doctors. It's like, yeah, no, doctors, they benefit the most. Like, who benefits the most from cancer is a doctor, right? I certainly don't benefit from cancer. You probably don't. But your doctor would, because he gets paid money. But we don't say, oh, the fucking medical industrial complex. Or maybe we do. Maybe there are people that fucking stupid. The point being, we have title fights on Saturday. But we have, again, a super title fight between Ortega, Max Holloway. I mean, holy shit. You got two guys in their mid-20s, physical fucking peak, clashing. They're both on ridiculous winning streaks. Ortega's never lost. Holloway hasn't lost since what? The fucking Conor fight? That was 2015. We launched the site. That's when he beat Chad Mendes. Before that was Dustin. He had the fight in Ireland early 2014 was Poirier. Before that, that may have been the return from injury. So it's possible. Maybe he fought. Maybe Holloway's last loss then would have been in 2013. Something. I mean, it's a long fucking time, and he's just been beaten. I mean, look, he beat the fuck out of Jose Aldo twice. And he beat him, right? He fucking owned him. And I was fighting Brian Ortega. That's huge. And then, of course, the main event, we have a super fight. And it's a real super fight. It's a shame that the fucking company has spent so much of a goddamn fucking time lately butchering that term so that super fight doesn't mean jack shit. Because everything's a fucking super fight. Like, seriously, how many times do this champion, it's not a fucking super fight. Just because you call two guys champions doesn't mean they're both champions. But this is a real deal super fight. This isn't, it's way more, to me, way more established than Conor's super fight shit. Take nothing away from Conor. He beat Eddie Alvarez. He owned him. He held the titles two at the same time, blah, blah, blah. Not knocking him or anything, but let's face it. Conor had a good run at featherweight, won the title, never did anything with it. And he beat Eddie Alvarez, who had just won the title and never defended or anything. Okay, not taking anything away from Conor's win. He was the legitimate champion of the world, two divisions. It's impressive, but it's not quite the same as what we have here, because Miocic could be argued this is the greatest heavyweight in the history of the UFC. He obviously has the record for most title defenses, consecutive title defenses, probably overall title defenses at this point. He's dominating everyone. He's looking smarter. He's fit. He's young-ish. He's healthy. He doesn't cause any problems. Then you got Cormier, and it's not quite he hasn't cleaned out the division per se. You know, he's not this legendary champion like Miocic would, like Miocic is. Now, Jones would have been the truly, you could argue, the biggest fight in the history of the sport. You know what I mean. Not like money-wise, but money-wise, it'd be like Conor versus Ronda or something. But no, I mean, you look at the light heavyweight division, there's nobody else really left for Cormier. Okay, he just beat Volkan Oezdemir. And when they announced that Volkan Oezdemir was going to fight for the light heavyweight championship, everybody went, huh? Then they looked at the available talent and they went, oh, I guess that's all that's left. You know, with Cormier, it's this kind of weird. He's the real champion because Jones is gone. We all know Jones is better, and that's fine. But, you know, Cormier is the champion. Has defended the belt. There's nobody else out there that is currently licensed to fight that can claim to be champion. And you look at light heavyweight, there's nothing. Matt and I have talked about this at length over time. Because you can't talk about things at length in a short period of time. But we have talked about this over the months, years, even. That there's just nobody left to light heavyweight. And fucking Shogun is on his way to another title shot. I don't know how the fuck that one's happened. I don't know what the fuck I'm supposed to think about that one. But it's a thing. That's right. Shogun, in 2018, might fight for a world title. And it's the only guy left. Rumble Johnson, who fuck knows what his life is anymore. Gustafson already lost to Cormier. I mean, this is the way super fights should be done. We have two guys who are were the champions of their divisions, and there's nothing else in the divisions that people go, oh yeah, I want to see that. Conor fought Eddie Alvarez, but it was obviously a thing because of Conor. And Madison Square Garden, and it was a great moment. But there were, if they hadn't made that fight, you could have been, oh no, no, there's lots of guys at 145 pounds I'd like to see Conor fight still. He hadn't fought Frankie Edgar, for instance. Another fight with Jose Aldo, 13 seconds, that's all I get. Come on, man. Am I 15 years old and she's touching us for the first time? Joke works better if you don't fucking stutter, dipshit. Fucking it was storming so bad here. And now that it's subsided, it's humid as fuck. I think there's other shit on this show, too. Matt just called me gay. It's homophobic. Doing it right now, Maddie. Yeah, let's see here. I should probably pull up what this card is before we really get into analyzing the fights in detail. Mike, are you gonna really do that? Nah. So yes, we have two big fights. Oops, I don't want two UFC 26, you dumb motherfuckers. I don't know if you should start out at the top, preview the main event. First or last, it's hot as fuck out. Sun's in my eyes if I take off my hat. Put the hat on, and my head is sweaty. It's a fucking difficult life I lead. Oh, Francis Ngannou and Derek Lewis. That's this? Damn. Pettis and Chiesa? Gokhan Saki versus Khalil Roundtree? Uriah Hall, Paulo Costa, no one cares. Mike Perry and Paul Felder. I am shocked at Paul Felder. Take such a risk. He's such a great man. I fucked that up. I think it's kind of weird that Mike Perry's still around. For a great fight. I mean, this is a perfect fight. Perry will be in there with somebody that won't bully him around physically, who will stylistically fight with him. That's a good fight. Rafael Sunsal versus Rob Font. Out there. So let's run through this stuff real quick. Start from the bottom and go into the top. Because I'm Drake. Motherfuckers, I'm doing this shit Drake style. That's a good name for the show. UFC 226 preview, Drake style. I'm writing that down. That's right, I'm writing that down. UFC 226 previewed, Drake style. UFC 226, Drake style. So yes, we started at the bottom and now we're, well, I guess this works better once I get a main event. So it kicks off with Jamie Moyle versus Emily Whitmer. No idea. I would probably like to have sex with both of them. Women's straw weights, small enough that there's not going to be a lot of fat on them. And I enjoy the female body for carnal reasons. Horrible thing to say. It's total bullshit. You shouldn't be subjected to that. They're women. They whatever. If some women, if I could walk into a courtroom and some chick's like, I'd like to fuck that lawyer, I'd be like, yeah, no, I get it. Me too. A dude in a 4x4 with his kid. Kid's driving. Fucking ass. I used to do that. That was awesome. Ah, kid's awesome. He's got a little bicycle helmet on. She's killing it. Lando Venata. Lando, who we all love. You gotta love Lando. Versus Drakkar Klose. Should be on the feet. Should be exciting. Lando goes for it. The dude's a fucking warrior. Super chin. I don't really care who wins. I just hope it's a good fight. I think it will be, and no one will ever remember it. Like, nobody's going to remember this fight ever. And it's a shame, because I bet it'll be probably halfway decent. Morning. But it is what it is. And the main event of the Fight Pass prelims, Gilbert Burns versus Dan Hooker. Gilbert Burns, nicknamed Farmer, Farmer Burns. He was a hooker, of course. Hooker being the term for an old school shooter. Dan Hooker likes to suck cock for money. Hell of a fight there. Ugh, weird. And then we get to the Fox Sports 1 card. Curtis Millander versus Max Griffin. Don't care, don't know. Rafael Asensio versus Rob Font. Big fight for Font. Career-making fight for Font. Anyway, Asensio is, as Joe Rogan would say, top of the food chain type of dude, right? And for Font, coming off the big win over Thomas Almeida, you know, he's, lost to John Lineker and Thomas Almeida, and beat Thomas Almeida. But, you know, he lost to Pedro Munhoz. Nothing wrong necessarily with his career there. But at the same time, the Thomas Almeida win was obviously all that mattered to him. And so he's being rewarded here. You know, Asensio had that one loss to TJ Dillashaw way back when, 2 years ago now. Other than that, like, he's been, you know, remember, people forget Asensio is a fucking stud. Like, he's only got the one loss in the past, like, half decade. That's the TJ Dillashaw, and that was by decision. Otherwise, his run here, you know, three in a row now. Marlon Moraes, Aljamain Sterling, Matthew Lopez. I mean, look, he knocked out Matthew fucking Lopez. All right? I mean, when you think Rafael Asensio, then you go, oh my gosh, this guy's so good. And you add in a knockout victory over Matthew Lopez. Holy shit. So, yeah, no, but good jits, blah, blah, blah. He should win this fight. I think that this is one of those things where you watch this fight, you go, oh, I do see the different levels. And I think it's going to be primarily the grappling that shows it. On the feet, I don't think Font is that good. I mean, he's good, but Asensio is good enough. And on the ground, I think Asensio is a much different class, so he'll win there. Mike Perry and Paul Felder, yeah. I mean, I'm fucking loving it. I think Felder wins, because one, I love Paul Felder. I think he's the best play-by-play guy in the business, bar none. I really should try to get a podcast with him, just for my own sake, so one day I can be like, that's right, motherfuckers. I interviewed him. Suck on my cock, motherfuckers. While you're down there, that's right, take that tongue, hit the taint. Hit it, bitch. Up in northern Minnesota, God's country, as everyone calls it, and this is what I'm yelling at. Something wrong with me. But yeah, Paul Felder wins just by being more in control. Mike Perry's a nut job. Although Perry could look. Perry is the kind of guy that, this is the kind of fight where Perry wins and he comes out there and he like knocks him out in 2 minutes. Everybody's like, fuck, man. And some big left hook or a tight inside elbow or some shit like that. And everybody's just like, damn, man. Mike Perry's got that shit. And everybody else is like, damn, man. Why are you talking like that? You're white. And I'm all like, damn, man. Now that you brought up the fact that I'm white and I'm talking like this, that implies that I shouldn't talk like this because I'm white, which means that you're a racist. And then everybody's all like, whoa, got out of fucking control because of Mike Perry. But it's all right, Mike Perry's black. That means he can say, you know, that word. And Paulo Costa, main events, the Fox Sports 1 show, that's right. Paulo Enrique Costa, formerly known as Paulo Borrachina. Actually, I'm glad I looked this up. I'm like, who? And it's, oh, yeah, no, that one. Like, he's undefeated, fucking little beast. There's a bee, and I don't like bees at all. Fuck you, you fucking little terrorist with wings. Why don't you suck my asshole? Fuck you. But now, Borrachina, you know, fucking, he's a stud. He's physically a stud. He looks like a stud. Hasn't fought in over a year, or not over a year, half a year. He's getting Uriah Hall. This is matchmaking 101, man. We'll see if Uriah Hall makes weight. Maybe comes in a little heavy. I don't know. Nothing's make or break in life. Really, it's not. If MMA has taught people anything, is that, you know, particularly unlike boxing, one loss does not make or break someone. Now, it can, because you can get certain guys like Fyodor who lose, and then it's just like right time, right place. Training wheels fall off, and it turns out you can't ride your bike, because I don't ride bikes in Russia, motherfucker. So, yeah, it's go time here. Hall will be like Hall and Borichina. We'll see. We will have to see. Lots of potential. He's done everything he needs to do so far in life. But, you know, that's like saying that just because you filled in your name and address right on the Scantron doesn't mean you passed the class. Get there, but you gotta go all the way. But I'm going to pick Borchina because Uriah Hall is a fucking embarrassing disappointment of a human being as far as a fighter is concerned. The new Vitor, as we shall call him, he will fill that Vitor BJ Penn role for the next year or two until somebody else comes along. And everybody goes, ah, look at all that potential. Then it turns out that he's a fucking pussy. We call this a Coughlin. I'm wearing a straw hat with a Superman logo on it. So we get to the main event, the pay-per-view, I should say, the show that you're going to pay to see, which I would pay to watch this if it was possible for me. However, on Saturday night, I will not actually be up here in the great fucking Northern Woods enjoying life, smelling this fresh air. My gosh, there's no fucking clouds. I mean, I really should be doing something different than a fucking podcast, but this is gorgeous out here. No, I will be sitting with my 97-year-old grandmother because my sister-in-law hasn't met her, and so we need to make that happen before she dies because, you know, she's 97. So I get to cut my vacation short a day so I can go sit with an old lady. Now, old ladies do fall asleep early, so perhaps I will see this show. But as the, whatchamacallit, what do you call those things? Magic 8-Ball says, all signs point towards Mike's fucked. So, on the card, though, we have, is that just a notification? Something from NBA, I don't care. I don't care about you, ESPN. No, I don't, what is this, why is this going this way? So, main card, Gokhan Saki continues his journey into MMA from kickboxing versus Khalil Roundtree. Obviously, Gokhan Saki is one of the greatest strikers on the planet. And he's made the transition to MMA successfully thus far. Who the fuck knows what he's really got. And Khalil Roundtree, I don't know why I'm so familiar with Khalil Roundtree's name, other than, again, he's set up to lose. Gokhan Saki must be, I suspect because he's got like a Vegas connection, that he's a Dana White guy. Not that they're, It's got that feel of like the old school UFC when they bring in somebody from Japan, Hayato Sakurai. It's got the Dana White, Joe Silva deal where you're just like, oh, okay, I get it. You're a mark. You want to see the Crow Crop 2.0 or whatever the fuck it is. It's not going to happen. Saki looked fucking gassed in his last fight, which was all in the feet. He doesn't, offensively, he'll hurt everyone he fights. There's no question about that. Defensively, I don't think he'll make the transition. I don't think a lot of guys doing kickboxing, which is fine, but they have so much to learn. So many new techniques to learn for MMA, obviously wrestling and jiu-jitsu, that taking the time to look at what they do striking-wise and go, okay, I'm a great striker for strikers, but does this work in a world where everything's different, where my footwork is going to be off? And it doesn't sound dumb. We all know this. Yeah, we all know these things. It's sports. All sports are a game of fucking inches. MMA is no different. Your stance opens up just the tiniest little bit, and that could be as simple as you literally move your left foot 6 inches. Giving yourself a little bit more of a square opponent. So your chest is more lined up with your opponent. Better for wrestling, worse for striking. But if you go pure striking style, you get that very kind of almost sideways karate. You know, you've watched people fight. You know, they kind of line up and make themselves a thinner target. Yeah, it's great for striking, bad for wrestling. Point being, the Gokhan Saki is from Turkey. Gobble, gobble, he'll probably win still, but I'm not impressed. Michael Chiesa, Anthony Pettis, fucking awesome. One of those fights that I think will be a sleeper fight of the night. You look at it and it's because of Chiesa. And you don't think of Chiesa as being flashy or exciting. He's a very talented, technically sound guy, but he's not physically gifted or anything like that. As opposed to Pettis, who obviously has tons of natural physical talent And a lot of great deal of technique also, but the signing is something off mentally. But I think this fight will be on the ground a lot. I see Chiesa definitely pressing for takedowns. He could probably get Pettis to the ground. And once he gets him there, he might be able to keep him there or try to shuck behind, take the back, something. On the feet, Pettis is going to try to, you know, he's going to try to throw his kicks. He's going to try to land the home run punch. But on the ground, he's no slouch either. It's a hell of a fight. Like I said, I don't think people are thinking about it. They're probably sleeping on it. That's why it's a sleeper. Well done, Mike. Well fucking done. But yeah, so that's that should be good. I'm going to pick Chiesa via Pettis' continual disappointment. He should be in Bellator. Francis Ngannou and Derek Lewis. There's only one man that can win this fight, and that's Derek Lewis. He has to win this fight. It's too bad it's not five rounds. Otherwise, I would for sure put my money on old DL. He should use that nickname, by the way, DL. D-Lew, maybe. That's what athletes do. D-Lew. No, fucking... this is a super fight at heavyweight. Not a super fight, but, you know, a big top 10, maybe top 5-ish contenders winner this fight. Very easily could fight for the heavyweight championship in the next fight. I would go so far as to say that if Derek Lewis were to win and look good in the process, that he'd essentially be a shoe-in for a title shot. Whew, I almost lost my hat. Speaking of which, I've got to kind of pull for Miosic to win, because I think that Cormier's more or less retired after this fight. Like, I think if Cormier wins the title, he's done. And then he'd have to relinquish it, and that'd be like, what? Every year we're going to have somebody go out there, win a championship, and then immediately say, yeah, I'm done. This fighting thing, it's not for me. We are in the age of the super fight, which is fine. You know, it's different. It's not always great. But it's, I think, an inevitability. It's kind of how I think the cycle of things go. You build up these strong champions. These champions look good. At a certain point, I think that the skill set seems to level off and the champions are kind of dominant for a while. Then you're like, fuck, man, what are we going to do? Let's have them fight each other. And then you just build up all these super fights. And then over those past couple of years, you've built up all these big names like St. Pierre or whomever. And they're a little older. But they have enough drawing power on their own to be like, yeah, no, I'm not fucking doing that. Like, I'm fighting for a title or some sort of, like, fight that people are going to pay money to see. I'm fighting Nate Diaz. And just face this stuff, more than any other sport, cage fighting really should adhere to the tenets of prize fighting. Like, you're just giving people what they want to see because this is illegal. We are watching something that is, like, a universally illegal act. Hitting somebody. Seriously. At the most basic levels of all society, you're not allowed to hit someone. It's like rule one. In fact, that is. I think that's the first rule. The first law of the world is you're not allowed to touch somebody else. Before you get to food or anything, people will like, if you take their food, they'll just move down the road, get some more food. Where, but you touch somebody, you touch a man. Fuck that shit. Anyway, Derek Lewis wins by knockout. Somebody's going down, I think. I hope they get gas and just fucking two big old black boys swinging on each other in that third round. I get very southerny and racisty when I talk and think. You know, I'm from fucking Illinois, in Chicago, I'm like from the northern part of Illinois. Ironically enough, I'm from the more refined, sophisticated part of Illinois that has a lot more minorities. And that's not ironic because everybody knows that minorities aren't classy. And then the two main events, like we said before, Max Holloway defends his title against Brian Ortega. T-City getting a title shot that he does definitely fucking deserve. He stepped in on short fucking notice last time and whooped the fuck out of Frankie Edgar. And now he gets, it's like, hey, you just beat one of the greatest fucking fighters of all time in any weight class. Here's your reward. You get Max Holloway. Except for, that's kind of weird, but it is. That's how the world of fighting works. The better you are at it, the tougher your fucking life gets. You know? I mean, I guess that's probably true of most things, though. Like, if you're really great at basketball, your life actually, playing basketball becomes more difficult. Because people are like, I want to see you play against this guy who's really good. And you beat him, like, oh, you're good enough for that. I want to see you face this guy who's really good. Fighting is even worse. Because, you know, they punch you in the face. I don't want to get punched in the face. And unlike basketball, like if you're successful in fighting, it can still suck. Like if you're Michael Jordan and you hit the fadeaway jump shot and you leave your fucking hand hanging there, you're like, that's right, motherfuckers, I just won the world championship. I'm the best on the planet. Or you win the World Cup. And you go, that's right, I can do anything I want. I'm the most famous footballer on the planet. I rule sport. And people will be like, yeah. And then you, like that night, you're all like, hey, who wants to party? Let's drink and fuck all night. And everybody's like, yeah. Yeah, but in a fight, like, you might win, and then be like, I gotta go to the hospital because my hand is broken. It's like, hey, you wanna go drink and fuck? It's like, I can't. I have to go to surgery. But you won. It's like, I know, I'm really good at this. I'm better at this than anyone, and I still went to the hospital. It's like, huh, it's really fucked up. Yeah, I know. Like, you don't generally see that in other sports. It's not like some guy's like, I just threw a perfect game in the World Series, and now I gotta go in for emergency arthroscopic surgery on my, Tommy John's ligament. Nah, everyone's just like, yeah. Do you want to have sex with all these women? Somebody's like, yes. Yes, I do. I was thinking about sex with women yesterday. I mean, I think about it every day. But in particular, I was thinking about rock stars. And like, we don't have like rock and roll gods anymore. The days of the Mick Jaggers, the Robert Plants, the Steven Tylers. These just dudes are just like, I'm telling you I'm a god. I'm going to live like I'm a god. I'm not going to back down on this claim. Kiss my ass. And then they just do it and you go, oh shit. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Now, these people are also narcissistic assholes. You probably don't want to be around them. But they're the kind of people like, there's a way to abuse your power. And it's abusive power. Don't get me wrong. It's abusive power. I'm about to say. But there's something to be respected about people that when they get power, know how to wield it. Even if it's for selfish and, you know, not good reasons. It's still better than, not better, but there's something to be appreciated. You know, you don't want the petty tyrant. Or you don't want a petty tyrant who, just the Kim Jong-un types or whatever. But sometimes, like, you see, like, those Middle Eastern sheiks, and you're just like, oh, they totally get it. Like, yeah, you have that much money, and you have the ball. Like, do you imagine having so much money? You're like, I'm going to spend $500 million on a boat. It's like, what? Like, what? You're going to spend $500 million on a fucking yacht? Like, damn. It's like, wow, it takes a lot of vision. Because like, you have to be imaginative to be that fucking successful in life. It's not even success. That's wrong. That fucking wealthy. Everybody's thinking about it with rock gods. And like, you can just imagine like Jimmy Page or Jimi Hendrix. A lot of Jimmys, I guess. Jimmy Van Halen. Jimmy Cobain, sitting around in the studio, just playing the guitar, doing coke and drinking, and just looking at some girl like, you, over here, suck my dick. And she would just come over and suck your dick, and it would be totally normal. It's part of the creative process, and she would be happy to do it. She would be like, I got to suck the dick of greatness. And I'm not even like, I don't even say there's like a not all women are whores. It's like, no. Like, I would do that with like some like famous, successful woman. Like, if somebody's like, hey, you want to fuck Madeleine Albright? I'd be like, fuck it, I'll fucking eat that box all day long. Because it's Madeleine Albright. And then for the rest of your life, you could be like, yeah, I fucked, I went tongue deep on Madeleine Albright's butt. Like, yeah. And people are like, it's fucking weird. And you're like, I know, trust me. Like, however weird you think it sounds, it's like infinitely weirder. Like, there's a lot of wrinkly shit down there, man. I didn't know it was wrinkly. And so I think Max Holloway lives his life that way. I don't think he does, actually. I wish I could live my life that way, but I can't. Brian Ortega lives his life as a pious Christian man and wants to be a good, honest role model for all the little kiddies out there. He also cheats and takes steroids sometimes, but nobody's perfect. I think that Holloway wins this fight. I think he's just a better striker. It's always fun to pick a guy like Ortega in these situations because he's, I mean, look, it's the new shiny toy. And it's not to denigrate him at all. I mean, look, obviously Ortega's a stud, but I think Holloway's just a little better. I think that MMA is it's a striking discipline at the moment. I think it probably always will be a little more striking oriented. Like we've shown that, I think that the sport is so demanding that people won't go full bore on the wrestling because it's so exhausting. And you want to have something in the gas tank, especially at the high levels, 5-round fights, you really got to do it. And, for that reason, I think that it just favors a guy who's like a Holloway, who's just a naturally a better striker. I think he's more naturally adept at it. In the same way that Ortega's just naturally a better grappler. Everybody's going to have their thing. For the most part, there are going to be some guys who are just good athletes and blah, 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 blah. But for the most part, guys are going to have their thing that clicks with them. Even within their discipline. You know, how many guys are like, that guy's just got a great left hook. Or that guy's got a great triangle. Like, we all. Like, fighters develop, they develop strengths and weaknesses like everybody. You know, like in baseball. Some guys are good at throwing a fastball. Some guys are good at hitting a curveball. Whatever. Point being, I think Holloway's just a better striker. I think he's going to win for that reason. And pretty much just that reason. And then in the main event. The mega fight. Champion versus champion for real. Daniel Cormier, Stipe Miocic. And it should be great. Speed versus size. That's all this comes down to. The wrestling. Cormier should be able to out-wrestle him still. Like, you want to sit there and go, you know, Miocic was a damn good All-American wrestler. He's a really good wrestler out of Ohio State. Lots of talent there. We've seen him use his wrestling offensively and defensively over the years. Most recently, of course, he just used it to take down Ngannou repeatedly. And without a ton of difficulty. You know, the great thing about someone like Miocic is that he's a real heavyweight. He's not, like, Cormier is not a heavyweight. Even if he wins and does all these things, he's still a guy who's not natural. Like, his frame is not a heavyweight. Miocic is somebody that will never be a light heavyweight, ever. No matter what, it's just impossible. He's just a big fucking dude. But he's a big athletic dude. He's naturally athletic. He played other sports besides wrestling. He's a really good baseball player. So it shows you he's getting crossover athleticism. I think that helps him a lot. Still, Cormier is a better athlete. I think that's fair. It's a shame that the UFC has fucked everything so much that this is a super fight, but it doesn't have that same feel and flair as it should. Because we realistically should be looking at this going, holy fuck, man, the greatest heavyweight in UFC history versus the light heavyweight champion who, by the way, was undefeated at heavyweight and beat some of the greatest guys also at that weight. And they're going to fight for the title in the main event of a giant week of shit. It's like, holy fuck, like, this is a giant fight. This should be a million buys fight. And if you're wondering what the evidence sometimes is, this is the evidence, I think, on chickens coming home to roost from overdoing some of the booking. Because I think this type of fight should be million buy pay-per-view. I don't think it's going to be close to that. And I think a lot of that is because they've just overdone things. And maybe they actually make more money overall. They probably do. They probably figure, yeah, we would have had a million buys for this one, but because we bastardized the meaning of, like, super fights and title fights and stuff, maybe it does 500,000 instead. But, on the other hand, we have, like, 7 pay-per-views that each got another 100,000 buys added to them because we did bastardize it. So we're actually coming out ahead. And that's the thing. That's the thing about being a boss, about running shit. You have to see the big picture. It's not enough to simply say, focus on the small things. I lost my hand. I don't really care. This show is halfway winding down. Oh, Matt sent me an outline in case I needed something to talk about. Well, Matthew, I think I might. That's good timing. I'm at 40 minutes. I wanted to do anywhere from 40 minutes to an hour. I sent this to me an hour ago. Bellator review. Right. Yeah, so in the main event, I think Cormier could. My only hiccup with picking Cormier is his age. I think it's just something it doesn't make you smart or clever, but it's something you need to consider. It's a legitimate variable. I think any guy over 35 or so, at that age, you need to start realistically saying, when will he physically go? And it will happen. Probably. Now, it may take a long time. Maybe it'd be a Dan Henderson thing where you're like, he's fucking mid-40s, and you're just like, yeah, no, he still does okay. Not like he once was. I think he's getting beat up a lot too much, really, but he's still doing it. But I don't know. If he hasn't shown any of the effects of age, I'm picking Cormier. On the feet, he's got such a great style. You know, you watch him box and you realize how effective Cormier is at striking. And it doesn't look good or anything like that. He doesn't come across as a Gokhan Saki type or anything. Or even a Cain Velasquez. But he's very good at hitting and not getting hit, which is the whole point. of fighting. Hit them and don't get hit. It's really to hit them. If you get hit, yeah, I guess you got to deal with it. But yeah, and he gets inside and guys are always worried about him clinching and trying to wrestle them. I think some of the key, not some of the key, I guess I've seen the key, as if there's one. And also as if I've been, I wrote all this down. Miocic can have success, I believe. Stop saying I believe and I think, Mike. We know it's you speaking. Miocic's success could come in those clinch, in the clinch distance. Not necessarily clinching, per se. You get into that boxing clinching distance where you're inside, the kicks aren't a problem, and you're wondering, is he going to try to uppercut me, punch me, or clinch up and take me down? That's where Cormier's great strengths are, I think, in the game. I think that's where his number one skill is. It's that Randy Couture feel for boxing, dirty boxing, wrestling. It's so dangerous. And unless you're at that level, it's really difficult to deal with it. If you're Miocic, he's got the talent. You know, Miocic has shown over the time that he's got the talent to stop the takedown. But mentally, will he just be like, shit, you're going for the takedown? Like, will he overcommit one way or the other? Will he overcommit on his takedown defense, leaving open to punches, or vice versa? My guess is that he sells out to protect the takedown because he, somewhat rightfully so, will probably think, I'm a real heavyweight. He's not. I've taken big punches from real heavyweights. I can take his punches. I don't want to get taken down, though, because if I get taken down, he is so good. And it's not like Miocic has a lot of experience on the ground. Often, I mean, look, neither one of these guys can do fuck all off the bat. If somebody throws an armbar from the guard in, like, for real in this fight, or a triangle, I will shit. I will videotape shit coming out of my ass. I don't know why I would do that. That's a really fucking weird one. What kind of promise is that? If I'm wrong, I will show you myself pooping. What? I don't know. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to pick Cormier because I feel like I've already said that. And it feels like a defensible position. You got to pick someone. Could be Miocic by knockout. I think Cormier gets it. That by a third round stoppage. I think he's going to wear. I think he's going to come out in that the pace he sets is simply going to be too high. He's going to be too fast. Too much movement. He's going to slowly. Not even slowly. It'll be, you know, 5-10 minutes in. Miocic's cardio is going to falter. Even though he's got good cardio for a big man, and even though Cormier is the one that should, you know, could possibly get tired because he has to push around all that extra weight, Cormier has done it before. Cormier has dealt with giants. Miocic hasn't really dealt with anyone like Cormier because very few people have. He's office state fire warden right here. Huh. Burton Wook. I wonder if he's the only fire warden in the whole state. And he's right by me. Yeah, but I think Cormier. The guy that has the easier time preparing, I'll pick. It's some sort of truism I just made up right now. So, yeah, that's UFC 226. You see how we started at the bottom, and then we got here, and now we're here at the main event of the pay-per-view. I fucked it up, I should have said. Also, outline. So, yeah, let's run through this real quick, about 5 minutes. I want to go to the lake. Bellator review. I didn't watch it. Leslie Smith. I'm sure she's doing some whining about unions or something like that. Wah, I want fair pay. Wah. Don't exploit me for commercial gain. Wah. Yeah, I know. Chuck and Tito are going to fight for a third time, in theory. Oscar De La Hoya is going to promote it. Okay. Imagine. Okay, most of you probably can't. But the year is 2000 and... fuck, was this 2005? You know, we're like, really, right there, the boom is starting. It hasn't hit real big yet, but the boom is starting. We say the boom. It's really just the sport has become popular. People just learned about it. And you're sitting there going, yeah. And 2018, 13 years from now, Chuck and Tito are going to fight for a third time, and Oscar De La Hoya is going to be the promoter on pay-per-view inside of a cage. And everybody would go, huh? What? That's really weird. And I'd be like, yeah, and it's really sad. And pathetic. I don't think it's going to happen. This sounds like one of these things that people announce. And you go, whoa, wow. And you get like a couple of your press clippings. And everybody's like, oh. And then like you realize it's like, yeah, Chuck versus Tito. And then it's going to be a whole bunch of like Efrain Escudero versus Yancy Medeiros. It's a semi-main event. But they'll call it a co-main event. And you'll be like, huh, that's a weird one. I'm like, yeah, no. Volkan Ozdemir is going to fight Alexander Gustafsson in August. Good fight. number one contender fight for Gustafsson. Yes, Ozdemir. I don't know. I guess if he wins well. Wins well? Wins impressively. Looks good winning. Shogun versus Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith, you know, like when you beat up Rashad Evans, you get to fight Shogun. Whoop-de-fucking-do. It's probably in Brazil or some shit. Justin Gaethje will be taking... We said last week, maybe, it was going to be Gaethje versus L.I. Quinta, and some of you are going to be really surprised to hear this. Turns out, L.I. Quinta and the UFC had a bit of a disagreement. I don't know what it is, but they had some sort of disagreement, because L.'s not fighting anymore. It's going to be James Vick. Whoop-de-doo. And in Ryzen, Melvin Gallard will fight Takanori Gomi, and that's a sentence I just read out loud. Josh Koscheck retires. I'm out here in the woods. The tree may have fallen also. Wouldn't know, would I? 8 years ago today, well, not today, this week though, was Brock Lesnar and Shane Carwin. One of the great shows of all time. I loved that show. I was studying for the bar. But I'll never forget watching that show. I was dating this chick in law school. She wasn't that attractive. Fucking freak in the sack though. I just remember watching that pay-per-view and getting loaded and just banging the fuck out of her in her childhood bedroom next door to her parents. What is wrong with me? That's not that cool. Like, the thing is, like, you can say that and sound like a bro. Like, I just banged the fuck out of this chick next to her parents. Then you also realize, like, oh, yeah, I was an adult man studying for the bar as an attorney. And I was having sexual relations with a woman. Like a normal adult would. Like, oh, yeah, that's fine. That makes sense. That's not really on the level of, like, you know, like, banging this whore. Great show, though, back then. I mean, fucking, the Akiyama and Lieben fight, speaking of fucking finishes you never see coming, a triangle, what the fuck? Stefan Bonner and, I think it was Krzysztof Szyszynski fought. I know Bonner had a great fight. Just a lot of really good shit on that show. Just a fucking awesome show. Go back and watch that one, kiddos. We already did UFC 226. In the world, LeBron James is a Los Angeles Laker. I don't give a fuck. I don't know what this is about. I assume this is some sort of, like, I was going to say money-making scheme. I think I say scheme. Scheme has a negative connotation, but it could just be a scam. Yeah, look at that. This man wants to make money playing basketball. Yeah. Funny. Weird. Who'd have thunk that? I'm such an anti-capitalist sometimes. I mean, I'm always saying to people, I hate capitalism. And they're all like, Mike, I think you're lying. I'm like, yeah. Yeah, I am. Almost 11 o'clock now. I don't think I'm going to drink until noon. Or really until I see someone else. Then I will. But no earlier. Whew, it's warm as fuck out. So yeah, no, that's that. The World Cup happened. I've watched, for the first time, I didn't get to watch two of the fuck. I didn't get to see England somehow overcome their demons against Colombia. That's cool. I'll miss some of the quarterfinals here now because I'm up here. But otherwise, it's been a hell of a World Cup and I've been enjoying it. My pick of Spain, well, I fucked that up. My current pick now, I will go to Brazil because that's an easy one to pick. Pick the best team in the world that looks pretty good. Yeah. Can't believe Belgium. I mean, that Belgium-Japan game, man. Fucking, it's a racist thing. Like, it really is our attitude on this one. Because, like, if the same game, okay, it'd be a great game no matter what happened. But the fact that it was Japanese, it's like, yeah, the scrappy little Asians, they're smaller than everybody and physically inferior, but they've got heart and determination and will, and they're very nice and polite, kind of like them. Like, think about that. As a World War II, we bombed the fuck out of Japan, and they're all nice and happy because people respect power. Make friends with your muscles. That's right. You catch more flies with vinegar than honey. Yeah, you heard me. Anyways, that's the show. That's the show. I'm going to go for 50 more seconds to get to 50 minutes exactly. Hey, you're getting a fucking podcast from a man on a mission. And that mission is to enjoy these great fucking wild outdoors, man. Loving it. But thanks for listening. We'll be back next week, I'm sure, with a regular normal show of some quality. Low quality, but quality still. Yeah, I don't know what it'll be. We'll be recapping UFC 226. I'm just stalling for time now. But yeah, once we get to that time, you'll know. So we'll see you again in a week. I will. Matt probably will. But until that time comes, I remain your humble host, Mike Hoffman, for MMA and Stuff, an integral part of the halfguarded.com. website's 3-year anniversary, birthday, really, saying to one and all, good fight, good night, et au revoir, mes amis.